This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part one of a two-part series on why Mars and Venus collide. In part one, we will be looking at how stress, brain chemistry, and hormones all affect your love life. We're going to be discussing gender differences, biological differences, and the impact of the ever-present modern-day stresses of life on your lovemaking. Our guest today is someone who has spent years of intense study on these topics, Dr. John Gray.
Well, I think the most important thing to recognize is the context in which we're living our lives today has dramatically changed. And to try to change the content of our lives, so to speak, we have to recognize the new context that everything is in. It used to be that for thousands of years, the history of men and women on this planet had a kind of relationship that no longer exists today. And that was a relationship that was based upon men being providers and women being homemakers and baby makers. You know, we could think, gee, the world would be a harmonious place if we could all just get along and think the same and react the way and respond the same way. Everything would be fine. But it wouldn't be fine because that's not the way the world works. That's not the way the world is. And what we have to do is kind of grow up and recognize that, you know, we are different, and our responsibilities as being mature individuals is to respect differences, to honor differences, so that we can come together, in a sense, so that we can collide, but the collision can be harmonious.
Welcome, Dr. Gray.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Well, it is such an honor to have you here, and I worked it out with you. May I call you John?
Certainly.
Thank you so much, John. Well, I've just followed you. I've heard you talk so many times. I love listening to you. I can't believe I get to share you with my listeners today. So moving right along, let me tell everyone a little bit about you. Dr. John Gray is the best-selling relationship author of all time. He is the author of 16 books, including the relationship classic, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. His newest book is just out, which is Why Mars and Venus Collide. Dr. John Gray is a certified family therapist who has been conducting personal growth seminars for over 30 years. He's a popular speaker and media guest. And he also has a business linking better health and nutrition with a richer and more fulfilling love life. So we'll find out a little bit about that, too. So lots of interesting stuff here. Today on the show, we'll find out Dr. John Gray's cutting-edge research from his latest book. We'll learn how stress, brain chemistry, and hormones impact the differences between men and women. So let's get started. Let's start with stress. John, we're under so much stress these days, from work to money. What can men and women do to help each other cope? Let's start with women. What can women do to help men?
Well, I think the most important thing to recognize is the context in which we're living our lives today has dramatically changed. And to try to change the content of our lives, so to speak, we have to recognize the new context that everything is in. A new context for sex, even. A new context for relationships. A new context for marriage. Everything has dramatically, I mean, like an earthquake has shaken the whole planet. We haven't recognized it regarding the relationships between men and women. It used to be that for thousands of years, the history of men and women on this planet had a kind of relationship that no longer exists today. And that was a relationship that was based upon men being providers and women being homemakers and baby makers and nurturers. And women were in charge of the relationship and men were in charge of making money or going and protecting the home and, you know, going into the dangerous areas of life, either hunting or protecting or guarding. And suddenly, that sort of relationship of men's domain being outside the home and women's being domain in the home has been shattered. And we're trying to pick up the pieces. And while this is a very powerful, progressive, positive step in terms of women in the workplace, dual incomes, women providing for themselves, this is, you know, terrific. At the same time, it's created shockwaves through our relationships. Because women who have kind of initiated this change also instinctively feel the new needs that they have. Suddenly, when a woman is no longer in the environment, a nurturing environment all day, but in a stress-producing, emergency, urgency-type environment of the workplace, when she comes home to cope with that stress, she has completely new needs, needs that men have never satisfied before, that men don't even have a clue as to what to do. And women, you know, and instinctively, intuitively know it's possible. They want more, but the way they communicate more is in ways that often turn men off, or they're not effective, or the job just doesn't get done. And that's why I've evolved the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus message to now, centered around stress and how men and women are under more stress than ever before today. Let's identify that stress, and that's the context in which we're living our lives, which is this new stress, and how it affects men and how it affects women differently. And I wrote this book, it started about 5 years ago, when these researchers at UCLA discovered, you know, the ultimate sex hormone, which is oxytocin, and that oxytocin is responsible, which they were learning, responsible for certainly women's orgasm. But then they found that oxytocin is the hormone that lowers stress for women. So once again, we see the direct correlation between lovemaking, orgasm, women's fulfillment, and lowering stress levels. And so this is, you prompted a huge amount of research around the world, and everybody's trying to make sense of it. And unfortunately, when people are working in laboratories, they don't really realize how all this stuff affects the real life, you know, living in your relationships. And I've been able to take their research and apply it in practical ways to what we're doing in our relationships.
So, first of all, I'm electrified because I know that I, just for myself, feel a huge amount of conflict when I'm with my partner and I'm under stress and he's under stress. There's just this, like, sort of general confusion between the old roles and the new roles.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much confusion. And it's just, if we want to solve this new problem, we need to be able to, in a sense, dissect it into pieces and identify each piece very clearly, and then we can see how the pieces will fit together in a new way. And the good news is that we do fit together in a new way that's much grander and more delightful than anything ever in history. The promise of what we're looking for here is a sensual, orgasmic, expanded lovemaking, as you write about, becoming a predominant part of our lives. Because what you find is that the hormone that lowers stress for women is oxytocin. And oxytocin is a hormone that allows women to be orgasmic. The hormone that lowers stress for men is testosterone. And of course, we've always known that sex is one of the easiest testosterone stimulators for men, also for women. But the difference is that testosterone doesn't lower stress for women. It's the hormone oxytocin that lowers stress for women. And so what we want is to recognize, and sort of this is the in play, so to speak, and that is that sex, great sex, loving sex, continuous sex throughout your lifetime is one of the healthiest things we can do, one of the most satisfying things we can do, and hormonally we see that it produces sustained testosterone levels for men, which helps men to cope with stress, and it creates sustained oxytocin levels for women to help women lower stress. So it sounds like all we have to do to solve our problems of increasing stress today of the double income family is to just have more sex. But here's where the problem comes in, which is that when men are under stress, the possibility of sex can actually raise his testosterone and lower his stress levels. But when women are under stress, their oxytocin levels have dropped, and therefore they're often not responsive to sex. They don't feel the same urgency to have sex that a man would feel at that time. Women have to have, in a sense, a threshold has to be reached. She needs a certain amount of oxytocin. Let's imagine there's a scale of 1 to 100, kind of like a fundraiser. You're raising money. And, you know, you see a thermometer, and it gets up to 40, and then it gets up to 50, it gets up to 80, and then it gets up to 100, and they say, hooray, we've achieved our goal. Thank you very much. That would be the climax. Well, women start feeling sexually responsive generally when that thermometer of oxytocin reaches about 60 or 80. Now she's really, really in the mood. That's why there's something called foreplay. That's why there's something called romance. That's why there's something called communication. These are all types of things that raise oxytocin levels. That's the quality of intimacy in your relationship will raise oxytocin levels for women. Men don't recognize the importance of those things because oxytocin is not a key player for men in terms of how men get energy or how men cope well with stress. And then the bigger obstacle here that we have to be aware of so we can overcome is that oxytocin itself, while it has this dramatic calming effect for women, a sense of fulfillment, it's the love hormone, it's the bonding hormone, it's the sharing hormone, it's the friendship hormone, it's the cuddling hormone. All those, you know, nice touchy-feely things are associated with oxytocin. What we see is that when oxytocin levels go high in a man, it actually makes him sleepy. That's why after climax, you know, after climax, a woman has had her climax, and you know, if he's not finished, she can keep going happily, going on and on and on. If they finish together with two climaxes, she's ready to talk about their future. She's ready to share her hopes and dreams and listen to him. Or she's ready to just cuddle for quite a while. The man, on the other hand, is ready to go to sleep. And that's generally what happens to men when oxytocin levels shoot up really high. It actually makes men a little sleepy, and it causes their testosterone levels to drop. So here you have, you know, a whole scenario that helps us to understand oxytocin, while it's beneficial for women, can often soften men too much and they get sleepy.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break, and I definitely want to come back to that. And I think this is really pointing out why it is so important, if we're going to really understand expanding our lovemaking, that we do take hormones and brain chemistry into account in addition to gender differences and stress. I mean, it is all so important. So we are going to pause for a break, and you absolutely must come back and hear more of this because this is very important information. Do stay with us. We are talking to Dr. John Gray, and you can learn more about Dr. Gray at his website, MarsVenus.com. And we will be right back. So thank you.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back, and this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm here with Dr. John Gray. So we're talking about why Mars and Venus collide. And so that is a good question. I mean, why do Mars and Venus collide? I mean, is this politically correct? I mean, there's a pretty big movement out there that's sort of kind of going the other direction and saying that men and women, you know, should all be carrying the same load and doing everything equally.
Well, you know, that would be great if we were all the same, you know, but we're not. That's the reality. And you know, I'm just basically saying the emperor has no clothes. You know, we could think, gee, the world would be a harmonious place if we could all just get along and think the same and react the way and respond the same way. Everything would be fine. But it wouldn't be fine because that's not the way the world works. That's not the way the world is. And what we have to do is kind of grow up and recognize that, you know, we are different, and our responsibilities as being mature individuals is to respect differences, to honor differences, so that we can come together, in a sense, so that we can collide, but the collision can be harmonious. And that's really what's happening today, is there is this, you know, intersection of men and women. We're closer than ever before, and unfortunately, it's creating more problems between men and women than ever before. But let me address, you know, one of my favorite ways of addressing this is, you know, a story from my own personal life, because for years, you know, there's genuine, sincere women in my audiences, and they say, well, you know, why can't we all just be the same? You know, it is, you know, a wonderful thought. And I give a really clear example, and then I'm going to come into the hormonal backup of this. But the bottom line, I think everybody can relate to this. My wife and I were going on a getaway, a romantic getaway. This is many years ago, and it was a long drive to some place in the forest, in the woods, and it was in Oregon, and we didn't live there. It was a big trip for us, and one of my friends had told me before that there are these stalking bears that would actually stalk you, was something in the papers at that time. So there was that in the background, but we arrived, and it was late at night. It was dark. We didn't know where we were. We didn't know if anybody was around. It was really quite isolated, and we were kind of thinking about these stalking bears. So we certainly didn't linger outside, but we unpacked the car, got inside, and we were inside. Then after a while, we started hearing noises, you know, out in the woods, around the house. And this was like, both of us like, whoa, what's this? And so we were both scared. And I said to my wife, I said, well, honey, why don't you sit by the phone, and I'll just go out, and I'll check things out, and I'll yell to you if there's anything wrong, you know, and I'll run back. But you know where the phone is. You can call 911 or whatever. So we set it up like that, and I went outside to check. Now, imagine what would have happened in our relationship if I had said to her, honey, you know, I'm so scared. Would you go outside and check to see if there's a bear? I'll sit by the phone. And if she'd gone out and checked, and she would have, you know, I could convince her to do that. Honey, would you check? So she'd think it's a little odd, but she'd go out and check. Then she comes back in. I say, oh, you know, and she realizes it's just a raccoon, and she comes back in. And says, oh, it was just a raccoon. I said, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for checking. But I'm still a little scared about those bears. Would you just hold me?
Right, exactly. She's going to want to cuddle, right?
All right. So the reality is everybody can put themselves in that situation. You know darn well we're not going to have sex that night. She's going to feel mothering towards me, and I'm going to feel close to her. But turn it around and, you know, have me go outside, which is what happened. I went outside, and I saw a little raccoon. And so I just kicked another can again as the raccoon ran off, create a little more excitement. And then I yelled to my wife, it's okay, it's just a raccoon. And then I came on back in. And she was like, oh, thanks so much for going outside. Now, she said to me, would you just still hold me? That was so scary. So as I'm holding her, what do you think happened next? We had the best sex ever, and it was a circumstance. It was a circumstance of danger, man going out into danger, which is actually a testosterone stimulator. So now I'm all pumped up and ready to have sex, and for her, she feels protected. Anytime a woman feels cared for or protected in that way, it stimulates high levels of oxytocin. And as we just explored, oxytocin is besides the hormone that helps women cope with stress, it's also the hormone that allows women to be orgasmic. And so here we had the best sex of our life at that time, and it was all because I did the male thing and she did the female thing. So I don't use this as an example to say that men and women should, you know, go back in time and men should be in the jungle and women should be only in the garden and the family. But the point is that in those worlds, that's where our hormones flourish. If women are going to spend time in the jungle, today, which is a step of greater wholeness for women, they need to come home and find new ways to increase their oxytocin levels. And that's what my newest book's about. That's why I think it's the greatest book I've written, because it really is the answer to many of the issues that I started talking about 15 or 18 years ago when I wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. This is the real sequel. I'm able to talk about things that I really couldn't even say then, and some of the things I didn't even know then, because we didn't have the biochemical basis of it. So it's not like I'm saying that women shouldn't be in the workplace, but when women go to the workplace, what's happening today is that women are becoming more like men. And it's very hard for them to come back to sort of finding their femininity, finding their female side when they get home. And trying to do that, often the man becomes one of the bigger problems in her life rather than the guy who can actually help her to do that. And that's what I help men to do as well.
So let's get to some specifics here. What can a woman do who would like to get more into her orgasmic, oxytonic, whatever, state
right.
of mind?
Well, here's the thing. In my new book, I have a list of 101 ways for women to create oxytocin without a man, and then 100 ways to do it with a man. Because you don't want to ever be dependent on a man. Ultimately, if you want to be more independent, which is what women are today, then they're more on their masculine side. They need to use that masculine side to also find out ways on their own to create oxytocin. And that means to do something that women really have never given themselves permission to do as a society of women, so to speak. And that is do things that you want to do. Do things that you like to do to prioritize you. In terms of if you're going to be giving to people all the time, you also have to equally give to yourself. And this really historically was not allowed in the female culture, to give to yourself. You're not allowed to be special. You're not allowed to do something just because it feels good to you. It's you're allowed to do things that are good for others. And as long as everybody plays by that rule, then everybody gets what they need. But nobody gets to be special. And it turns out that when you do something special for yourself, then your oxytocin levels go up. It's kind of like, I remember back about 15 years ago or 10 years ago, more and more ads were coming out saying to women, you know, you deserve it, you're special, it's for you. And some women might look at that and go, gee, that's so egocentric. But what they were doing really is a positive thing, which is giving women the message, is that if you want to cope with stress, you've got to do things that you like to do. One of the chapters in my book is called A Woman's Never-Ending To-Do List. Women's brains are designed to always have more to do. And this is the difference between women and men, which is men are designed to have more to do during the daylight hours, and then their brain goes to sleep at night. When the sun sets, we have very little to do. Literally, you can measure there's less blood flow in the front part of the brain for a man than for a woman. Her brain is really set up to be nurturing children all the time, whether she has children or not. Her brain stays very, very active. And in order for her to relax the brain, particularly, she needs lots of oxytocin. And when women come home from work, unfortunately, there's so much to do that they put themselves at the end of that list. So for women, there's a never-ending to-do list. And they always put themselves at the end of the list. So they never really do what they want to do, what they like to do. And they often resent when the man does what he likes to do, what he needs to do, what he wants to do. And that resentment creates another thorn in their relationship, rather than even admiring that quality in men and saying, hey, if he can do what he wants to do, then I can do what I want to do. And give yourself permission to do that. And men, most men will encourage a woman to do what she likes to do what she wants to do. Occasionally, there's a few who've been brainwashed by their mothers, and they'll use that to control their wives. But that's more the dysfunctional male. But your typical male, his happiness, really, he's happier if she's happy. And women have to learn, they have to be the ones to take responsibility to start doing things that they would like to do, not putting yourself at the end of that list. Anytime you do something you enjoy doing, that you like to do, that you love to do, in a not rushed manner, oxytocin will get produced. Now that's A. B is, how do you create oxytocin in a relationship with a man? Well, you can even hear this. I heard this over the last 15 years with women in counseling. More and more women would complain, he doesn't listen. Well, it turns out that getting a man to listen, if a man listens, it produces lots of oxytocin. The other complaint is that he's not romantic anymore. Well, if you go around the world, women have never complained that men aren't romantic anymore. All they complain is he doesn't go to work or he doesn't earn money. Romance has never been a big deal in relationships, but today it is, and that's because romance, like communication, is a super oxytocin producer. So creating romance in the marriage, creating conversation in the marriage, is the key way to stimulate oxytocin. Now, women think they've been trying to do this, and I know many women listening are going, yeah, try doing that. You know, he's just not romantic. He stopped being romantic. You know, he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't listen, or he talks too much. I can't talk to him. He's always trying to fix everything I say. So women feeling the need for greater oxytocin, feeling the need, knowing instinctively, intuitively, that romance and conversation would do it. Women seek that but have no way, in most cases, of getting it. What I hear is a marriage counselor, they're always complaining that the man's not romantic, the man doesn't communicate, and they have no idea of how they're not creating romance and how they're ruining communication. And there's just, how can one be accountable when they don't even have a clue as to what it would look like for a woman to create the romance, since that's what she needs, and for a woman to create the communication in a way that would work for the man? That means you have to speak his language. That means having to actually do more. And women already feel, I'm doing so much, you're telling me to do more. I'm saying, well, I'm telling you how to get what you want.
Well, I'm glad you have a list here of, like, it's an amazing book, and there's 100 things here, and some of them might look obvious, and I know I'm reading it as a woman, and I might go, yeah, oh, read this, honey. You know, nope, not too simple for me. Yep, I'd go for that one. I'd go for this one, you know. Take her sailing, put your socks in the hamper, take her to a museum, play tennis together. I don't even play tennis, but, you know, sure, make me the offer. I mean, well, you know, give her a meditation tape. I mean, don't underestimate the power of the offer to raise that oxytocin. It will turn me on if you do this, partner. Do it.
Well, let me put that in the context, then, of summarizing all those things you just mentioned in a concept, which is, it's simply men don't realize doing little things that say I care, that I'm interested, that you're part of my life, doing little things makes a big difference in women. And men don't realize that. Men think if I do big things, then you'll feel loved. And the truth is, if you do big things, she does feel loved. But if you do little things, she feels loved. And you can only do so many big things, but you can do lots of little things. So if you do little things, you can give her a lot more love, or a lot more oxytocin gets stimulated.
And that's profound. And we have to take a break. So we're going to talk about what the men can do and what the women can do for the men right afterwards. So please stay with us. We are going to take a short break to support our sponsors. So this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm here with Dr. John Gray, having a great time. You can check out Dr. Gray's website, MarsVenus.com, and it's a really cool website. He has a hour-long wellness program every week and a relationship program that's an hour long every week, and he's into health and nutritional stuff, so it's really fun to just go there. And so I just love that you have just stayed on the cutting edge of things, so it's very exciting to go to MarsVenus.com. So anyway, please stay with us. We will be right back after these ads that support our show.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back. And we're talking about why Mars and Venus collide. I think I'm getting the picture. So we have been talking about all the little things that women can do for themselves and that men can do for women. How about the other way around? Women can do for men? Oh, I have one more question before we go on to that. I mean, no, I'll go to that at the end. What can women do for men?
Okay, this is the question that women always ask. And the issue is, as a marriage counselor, what I hear from men and their complaints when they want to end a relationship or when a man's not satisfied in a relationship, the answer that a man gives is so different from what a woman says. A man says, no matter what I do, it's never enough to make her happy. So what this implies, it's a very important concept, it implies that if a woman is happy in response to what a man does, that's her greatest gift she can give him. Certainly women do so many things for men, and men like it, but it's not what makes a man feel bonded to her. See, if a man does a lot of things for a woman, she feels so loved and supported. When women are unhappy with men, basically they're saying, he doesn't do anything for me. I do all this stuff for him, and he doesn't do anything for me. So women are giving what they want. But what a man wants most is for a woman to have a positive response to what he does. Now, I'll just emphasize it again. I'm actually suggesting that women do less for men and focus more on being happier so that you can have a more positive response to what he does or to what he forgets to do. You know, if you're just giving and giving and giving all the time for a man and he forgets to bring home the milk or he forgets to plan a date or he forgets to do something he promised to do and you did 10 things for him, you're going to be really upset with him. But if you find that you're spending more time for yourself and giving less time of your time for him, then if he forgets to do something, it's not such a big issue. You're more generous with your loving response. You can say something like, well, that's okay. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Next week, will you do this for me? So that's the first step, is learning to be generous in your loving responses to a man. That's the greatest way you give to him. In the bedroom, the same thing. What turns a man on most in bed, I mean, you can certainly learn lots of techniques and so forth, and men like them. But, you know, when you do a sex seminar and you ask men, you know, what are your greatest sexual experiences, they talk about what she felt and what she experienced, because he takes credit for it. So it's always a woman's response to what a man does that allows him to bond with her, that allows him to feel most loved. And since we're talking sex, probably the most important thing in terms of a woman's response to a man is how she responds to his sexual advances. When he's in the mood, when he initiates sex, how she responds is critical to how much love he will feel in that relationship. And women just don't understand how significant that really is. For him to say, oh, let's have sex, and for her to say, well, we just don't have time. I still have to make fruit salad, and our friends are coming over. We had a chance, but you slept late. You know, any kind of a comment like that, he's not going to be as interested in having sex with her next time. And all it takes is two or three comments like that, and the whole sexual relationship changes to where he never feels comfortable or free to initiate sex anymore. He'll sort of look to see, is she in the mood or is she not in the mood? And that's a real passion killer, because there's so many times when she could be in the mood if he would just be a little affectionate, a little interested. But he'll just back off because he says, oh, she's clearly not in the mood. It's not going to happen. So, you know, how a woman responds to man, a positive, favorable response. This doesn't mean she has to say yes to him sexually every time. It just means have a positive response. Instead of saying, oh, I still have to make a fruit salad, she could say, oh, sex, oh, that would be so much fun. I still have to make that fruit salad, but let's do it tomorrow, or let's do it, plan to do it tonight. I'd rather do it tonight, okay? Something positive is always going to be what a man's looking for when it comes to sex.
Well, you're making a lot of friends out there, John, with your words. So women, be that inspiration. That's what I'm hearing you say. Inspire the guy. You know, they'll do pretty much anything with that inspiration in their lives.
That's really quite wonderfully said. You know, a more mundane way of saying that is motivate him. And women always say, well, if he loved me, why do I have to motivate him? It's just amazing. Here I am, this guy at home. I love my life. I love my life. I love my wife. And I can be sort of tired, and my body just wants to sit on the couch. And my wife says to me, honey, would you help me with this? It will only take a few minutes. Suddenly, I have the energy to get up from the couch and go do something. That's called the art of motivation, and you brought it to a higher level, which is inspiration. But men typically, what women don't understand is, just as women feel overwhelmed And it's kind of like they have no control over it. They're just feeling overwhelmed. And so I know women, it's hard when you're feeling overwhelmed to think about yourself and come back to doing things that make you happy. Well, likewise, when men are experiencing stress, they don't feel overwhelmed. They feel underwhelmed. They actually feel exhausted and tired and want to sit down. As much as a woman wants to do everything and get it done now, a man wants to do nothing and sit for a while and just let himself go into sort of this relaxation state, which is so ancient, they even created, you know, religions around this. If you look at the concept of meditation, it's all around justification of sitting down and doing nothing and not thinking about anything. And if you look at the history of meditation and so forth, it was primarily men that did it. And this is because men, the way they react to stress is that we're, for a man, remember, it's testosterone that lowers stress for men. And when you're been working all day long, if you sit on a couch and rest, your body actually rebuilds testosterone. So women don't run out of testosterone, don't need testosterone to lower stress. So women don't feel this urgency to sit down on the couch. It looks very appealing, but her mind says, no, my urgency is these things have to get done. Well, just as that's her urgency, his urgency is to sit on the couch. But what can give him energy is when she gives him room to, you know, support him. Oh, you're tired, go sit on the couch or watch TV or read a magazine, whatever you need to do, take the time you need for yourself. But it, balanced with that attitude to also engage him in the relationship by asking him to do little things. You know, it's the little things that make a difference, but you also have to ask to do the little things. And we can expand this because for women to overcome their stresses today with more oxytocin, we need the super oxytocin producer, which is romance. Romance is, you know, the precursor to great sex. And what women don't realize, nobody's taught them, women don't have this understanding, is that if you want romance, you have to ask for it. And every woman in her genes says, no, if I have to ask, then it's not romantic. That's an oxymoron. You can't ask for something and have it be romantic. And I say, that's absolutely right. On Sunday, when you say there's a play next weekend, I'd like to go. Will you get tickets, please? There's nothing romantic about that. But once he says, yes, I'll get on it, and once he gets the tickets and you can anticipate that he's going to take you out on this date, the anticipation of going out on a date allows you to reorganize your week so that here's this special time, which is a time which is for you, where this man is making you more special than anybody else, where you get to be special. Super oxytocin gets produced just anticipating that arriving at the next weekend, and that's called romance. But women are now, what I'm teaching women is how they can create that.
Well, that sounds totally romantic, and my philosophy is by my asking my partner to do all sorts of little things, he'll live longer that way.
So he will.
I'll be
that's
doing
right.
him a favor, you know?
He'll live longer. He'll have more energy. He'll feel more bonded to you. See, this is the irony, is that I can love my family, but I feel bonded to them when I do things for them. And then I sort of retreat back into my cave a while and have my own separate life. But it's when my wife asks me to do the little things, and I do them, and then she delights in that or has some positive response, remembering the positive response is the greatest gift a woman can give a man, then he bonds with her. And then when he anticipates spending time with her, just spending time with her, his testosterone levels start to rise up because testosterone increases whenever a man senses or anticipates success.
Well, I want to get more into that in the second show, which means I have to close the first show. I'm going to just ask if you would leave us with a parting inspirational thought here, and so we can close out this show, and
sure.
We'll have you back to find out, you know, how to bring this all into the bedroom.
That sounds great.
In part two.
That'll be really fun. Well, what's really key is to recognize that the challenges that couples are facing together, they're new challenges, and if you're finding frustrations and disappointments and worries, and you don't know how to make sense of it, and there's confusion, first of all, recognize you're not alone, and second of all, there is hope. You can have more than your parents could have ever even dreamed of, the possibility of endless romance and great sex and a long, healthy life because of it is right within our reach. We just have to do a little research, a little understanding, try some new techniques, and it's achievable.
Well, thank you so much, John. have loved this show. I am so inspired. Even though I agree with you, you know, I love hearing it. I just love hearing it over and over and over again. I love reading your book, and I just love having you on this show today. I'm totally motivated and pumped up and just thrilled to talk to you in person and share you with my listeners again. So thank you for joining us today.
You're very, very welcome.
So this brings us to the end of our show. You can find out more about Dr. John Gray at MarsVenus.com. It's a great website. We've been talking about his new book, Why Mars and Venus Collide, which is a handbook which is full of every list in the world about how to, you know, get the hormones going in the right direction and the brain chemistry. And we have a part two, so we're in luck. So, but for now, we're going to close out the show. One thing I'm going to ask, we do have a listener survey that we are doing now. So if you'd like to take 5 minutes and fill it out, it helps me understand who my listeners are and create sponsor confidence. So I'd love for my listeners to fill out this survey for me. My listeners have been really good about it. I got a lot of pats on the back. So thank you all if you have, but if you would, I'd love it. So it's just survey.personalmedia.com, and it's fast and easy, so thank you. So anyway, please send me email at patty@personallifemedia.com. For texts and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com, and you can visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list and find out more about my products, services, and events. So this is Dr. Patty Taylor, and that's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking, and I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.